Donald Trump claims the 2016 presidential election will be rigged. He promotes the Republican boogeyman of voter fraud, something that's so rare as to be practically non-existent. But there are other ways of rigging an election. Some are through the kinds of voter suppression pushed primarily by Trump and the Republican Party, purging legitimate voters from the rolls, requiring onerous IDs to vote, closing polling places in Democratic-leaning precincts, and slashing early voting. These tactics have been shown to disproportionately affect voters of color who tend to vote Democratic. But some of these voter suppression tactics also showed up in the 2016 Democratic primaries, like the massive voter purging in New York, the wholesale closing of polling places in Puerto Rico, and the massive misinformation from election officials in California. And then there's the threat of hacking electronic voting machines and/or central vote tabulators. As statistical experts have shown, including researchers from Princeton University, it's easy to hack our voting machines without a trace. Most are a decade old, and nearly all have proprietary software held by private companies who deny public oversight, the so-called black box voting. Although our elections are decentralized, if voting machines are hacked in a few key precincts in a few key swing states, the outcome could be changed. Either major party could do that, and many believe the Ohio Republican Party did just that in 2004, denying John Kerry a crucial win. We've spoken before with journalist Lulu Freisdat about her report, An Electoral System in Crisis. That report examines statistical anomalies in the 2016 presidential primaries. Freisdat and her team of statisticians found evidence of possible vote rigging in both political parties. This week we spoke with her about troubling findings in her new report on the Florida Democratic primary between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Tim Canova. Freisdat doesn't know whether or not the ultimate outcome of that primary was changed, but she says the evidence shows statistical anomalies consistent with vote rigging. What Freisdat does say is, we need to have confidence in our elections. To do that, we need to count every ballot by hand, or every image of the original ballot taken by vote machines. And the count needs to be done in a transparent, nonpartisan process. Lulu Freisdat is an award-winning documentarian and journalist. Now, you have continued to do your research on the statistical anomalies and analysis of the Democratic primaries. And right now, the new one that you're really looking at is the primary, not between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, but that between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Tim Canova. Now, I want to let our listeners know I haven't seen any of this information. This is hot off the press, and we will link to the research also at our website at writersvoice.net. So, first of all, just summarize what you saw looking at the primary between Wasserman Schultz and Tim Canova.
What we're seeing is a pattern that we have seen in a number of the elections, and I will say we've looked at Democratic and Republican elections both, and also at independent and down ballot races. So we're looking at races across the country, and it's a pattern that we are seeing frequently where we organize the results by precinct from the precincts with the smallest number of votes to the precincts with the largest number of votes. And when we do that, we see a pattern emerge. And as you get into the larger precincts, the precincts with the heaviest number of votes, you'll see one candidate's percentage increase at a very steady rate often, and you'll see another candidate's percentage decrease at a very steady rate. And this is unusual because there are various mathematical forces at play that would make it so you don't expect this. One is called the law of large numbers. That's a mathematical principle that tells us that as the sample size grows, the average of that sample size gets closer and closer to the average of the whole population. And that's basically the basis for all polling, right? So if you poll 10 people, you're not going to get a very accurate poll. But if you poll thousands of people, you will get a more accurate representation of the whole population. And that is because as you get a larger and larger group of people, that group is more and more representative of the group as a whole. And with elections, we add these votes together cumulatively. So that means we're adding in each precinct on top of the last precinct on top of the last precinct. So by the time you get to the largest precincts, you're really seeing all of the people who have voted in the election. And by the time you have all of those votes, you should have an average of each candidate's percentage. But we don't see that in some of these races. And in this race that we're looking at, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Tim Canova, it's the Florida 23rd Congressional District race. What we're seeing is instead the more votes you get, the higher Debbie Wasserman Schultz percentage goes up and the lower Tim Canova's percentage goes. His percentage goes down. And it's significant. She goes up about 6% and he goes down about 6%. And she won the race by about by 13.5%. So this slope does seem to be close to the amount that she won the race by. So we look to see, is there a demographic trend that would explain this rise? And there is somewhat of a demographic trend. As you get into the larger precincts, there is an increase in the number of Black registered voters. And so that does explain some of the rise. But the increase in the Black registered voters is only, it's between 3 and 4%. It's not the 6% that Wasserman Schultz is receiving. And you think, how would that happen? Well, there are reports now that there is technology in these machines that would create what's called a fraction of a vote, meaning one vote might be counted as a fraction and another vote might be counted as a larger number.
So what you're saying is someone who might be more likely to vote for the challenger and their vote might count 0.6, and somebody else who's more likely to vote for the incumbent, their vote would count 1.4.
We're not saying that these are the actual results. We're saying that the results that are being reported seem to have a pattern in them. And that makes us concerned that the pattern is something that's reflecting other than the actual votes that were cast.
So what you're saying is that this shows evidence of machine manipulation?
It's a red flag. It's what we would call a red flag, that there is some kind of manipulation of the data taking place. What that manipulation is exactly, it is very hard for us to say, but we are concerned that there has been some manipulation of this data. There are a number of red flags in it.
So this is just a way of saying this pattern looks statistically suspicious, that if nothing, no manipulation would have happened, we would have probably seen a different result.
I think it's quite possible that the results would have been different. Yes, whether or not Canova would have won the race, I think it's very hard to say, but any kind of manipulation of the race certainly makes me uncomfortable.
Well, Lulu Freistad, thanks so much for coming in with this important research here, very concerning research, and it really underscores the need for us to make some major changes in how we do voting in this country.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much.